When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
On December 15, 1939, nearly 300,000 people descended upon the Lowe's Grand Theater in Atlanta, Georgia, for the star-studded premiere of what would soon become Hollywood's biggest blockbuster, Gone with the Wind. Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Margaret Mitchell, Gone with the Wind tells the story of Scarlett O'Hara, a strong-willed Southern belle who is forced to adapt to the societal changes brought on by the American Civil War in a manner that was antithetical to the genteel ways in which she was raised. Unfortunately, the narrative, which was mildly progressive for its time in terms of feminism, suffered from the over-romanticization of the Old South by both legitimizing the nobility of the secessionist movement and whitewashing the horrors of slavery. A likely byproduct of Mitchell's own experiences growing up in Georgia, a childhood surrounded by the influence of the infamous Lost Cause. But while Gone with the Wind's romantic tone could not be farther from that than the genre of Southern Gothic, the iconic Scarlett O'Hara has an uncanny resemblance to a real-life tough-as-nails woman, a gambling, gun-toting Louisiana legend who fearlessly protected her family and business by any means necessary. A woman named Madame Félicité Gratien. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you are listening to Southern Gothic. Félicité Netta was born in New Orleans around 1797 to Marie Manette Gravel and Francois Antoine Netta. As a young woman, the Creole socialite regularly participated in activities that at the time were considered acceptable only for men, gaining a reputation early on for her strong will and independent nature. Then, following in the footsteps of her father, Félicité successfully learned how to run a plantation and manage its business affairs, eventually proving so capable that she took over some of Francois's work. As a result, her confidence and demeanor scandalized the other daughters of local planters. For this strong young woman would stride about her family's property as freely as her father, riding her horse as a man would wherever she wished. But in addition to her nature and intelligence, Félicité was beautiful, with no shortage of suitors, though it is said that as frequently as she drew men in, she repelled them in equal measure. That is, until she met Hippolyte Chrétien. It is unclear exactly how the Netta and Chrétien families became acquainted, likely the result of their plantation's close proximity. Although, it is frequently noted that Félicité's father may have known her suitor from the War of 1812, where Netta served as a captain in the 1st Regiment of the Louisiana Militia, and Chrétien as a private in the 16th Regiment. Either way, members of the local high society were surprised by the union, which took place on July 28, 1818. Over the following years, as the couple's family grew, it is said that Hippolyte wanted a, quote, good, well-made house for his wife and growing family. So in 1831, a building contract was signed for the construction of a grand estate on the Chrétien family's plantation, Chrétien Point, located near Opelousas in present-day Sunset, Louisiana. The result was an excellent representation of early Louisiana and Creole architecture. A two-storied mansion, 3 rooms across and 1.5 rooms deep, all set on a brick foundation. The walls were also made of this red brick and covered in plaster. And in addition, plaster-covered brick pillars rose from the ground up the double stories to support the shingled roof and framed the veranda and gallery. Yet despite this traditional architectural style, there are some outside influences. The plantation's circular top door and windows have a more Georgian or federal style of design than usually seen in Louisiana plantations. And the style of the front columns and veranda were influenced by the Greek Revival style. Although an outside carpenter and bricklayer were hired for the construction, Samuel Young and Jonathan Harris respectively, the majority of work was completed by the Chrétien family's enslaved persons. And particularly noted is that the many bricks necessary for the mansion were made on site by this enslaved workforce that at the Chrétien family's most affluent time exceeded over 500 men, women, and children. Upon its completion, Chrétien Point stood as a symbol for the family's fortune, which likely included up to 12,000 acres of land. But as can be expected, Félicité had no intention of being a kept woman there. And as a result, the couple quarreled frequently about her role in the marriage. Hippolyte demanded that she carry out the traditional tasks that were expected of her, but Félicité did not agree, insisting that she too had the right to have a hand in running their business, just as her father had taught her. Yet according to some, Hippolyte distrusted more than just his wife. Legend claims that the prosperous cotton planter refused to deposit his considerable fortune into a bank, choosing instead to bury his money in large chests around Chrétien Point. Hippolyte then confided these secret locations to only one person, an old enslaved man named Paho. But then, on September 29th, 1837, Hippolyte Crescen died of yellow fever, leaving Félicité alone with a large plantation, four young children, and no idea where he had hid their wealth. Fortunately, Madame Félicité Crescen rose to the occasion. Upon her husband's death, Félicité had Paho brought to her to discuss the whereabouts of the hidden cash. What he told her is unknown, but after a lengthy conversation, the pair exited the house together, and Paho brought the newly widowed woman to a spot on the property where digging would soon commence. Several heavy boxes were pulled from the earth, and when everything was located, she had them loaded into a cart and rushed to the bank with several enslaved men serving as protection. And upon Félicité's return from this important errand, it is said that she increased the sizes of the bolts on her windows and doors. With Hippolyte now gone, Félicité took control over the operations of Crescent Point. And during this era, in which women were not allowed to be head of a household, live alone, or manage a plantation, Félicité Netta Crescen did just that, taking part in everything from general oversight to inspecting the cotton. She even worked with merchants and fellow planters. The madam, as she was known, did it all.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
But in addition to Madame Crescen's assuredly unladylike qualities, the widow soon became well known for hosting parties, specifically for gambling. Fascinated by poker, she used these games with her neighbors to better hone her own skills until eventually she grew tired of low-stakes betting. So over the years, the piles of gold and promissory notes grew increasingly heavy. And according to some, the size of her plantation increased several times as a result of her talent at cards. Perhaps unsurprisingly, news spread of this wealthy woman living alone on her estate without a man's protection. And also unsurprisingly, many men desired her fortune for themselves. And while some sought to marry her and failed, others had more nefarious intentions. Legend claims that in the 1840s, a gang of men were heard approaching Crescent Point. determined to protect her children and her property. Madame Crescent grabbed her gun and rushed down the stairs to confront the first intruder, herself. Now, the man was in her home, and though she yelled for him to cease, he continued to advance towards her. So Madame Crescent, confident as ever, waited as the man came closer and closer. Then, as he reached the stairs, she fired, killing him instantly. Yet there were still more men outside, approaching her home. So Madame Crescent ran to wake some of her most trusted enslaved men, arming them so they could help protect the house. She then confronted the rest of this gang, ordering them to leave her property, or else they would be shot. But the men claimed that they were only there looking for their friend, to which Madame Crescent responded that there was no such man. So the gang turned and fled. For the rest of the night, the dead intruder's body was stashed out of sight beneath the stairs until the police could be called the next morning. And though Madame Crescent ordered the floor to be scrubbed, where the now dead man had laid bleeding, the stain would not be removed. Unfortunately for Madame Crescent, chaos and uncertainty would arrive at her doorstep once again. On October 18, 1863, the Battle of Buzzard's Prairie took place on the grounds of Crescent Point Plantation. The battle lasted for several hours, culminating in a Union victory, which did not bode well for the Crescent family. For as the Federal Army traveled west towards Texas, they looted and destroyed every plantation in their path. Luckily, Crescent Point was spared. Several pieces of popular folklore attempt to explain how the plantation was saved. One, crediting the son of Hippolyte and Félicité as the hero. The man, who was also named Hippolyte, was ill at the time, but took it upon himself to appeal to the Union officers. Louisiana author Harnett T. Kane described the actions taken in his 1945 work, Plantation Parade. The Federals marched forward and lined up before the mansion, so Hippolyte Crescent dragged himself across the gallery, leaned over the rail, and moved his hands in a peculiar fashion. In a final effort to save his house, he was letting them know he was a Mason. There must, he had reasoned to himself, be some Masons among the officers. And there was. The general himself. The latter stood silent, his eyes intent on the face of the sick man. He lifted his arm and returned the signal. Hippolyte Crescent had done what even a stout-willed mother might not have accomplished, and the cannons were dragged away. The accuracy and legitimacy of this particular story is unknown, especially since yet another tale has been passed through the ages, crediting Madame Crescent herself with saving the home. Author Herman de Bachel Siebold was the first to publish the tale in his 1941 work, Old Louisiana Plantation Homes and Family Trees. In it, he claims that Félicité had heard that a single Louisiana estate had been spared by federal forces after the mistress of the home spread a great feast on long tables beneath the trees in front of the mansion, emptying the cellars to supply the Union with fine wine. So Madame Crescent decided she would do the same. Plantation Kitchen Force was put to work, locating all of the poultry on the property, along with numerous hogs, sheep, and cattle. The wine cellar was then emptied of its finest vintages, and everything was laid out on long tables, ready for the soldiers to arrive. Madame Crechen even prepared herself for their arrival, readying her appearance so as to seem the proper southern lady. So when General Nathaniel Banks arrived, she was cutting flowers, greeting the officer in French, before offering him a bundle of keys. According to Siebold, she told him,
"I extend to you and your men the hospitality of our plantation. My servants have prepared food and drink and refreshments for you and your detachment. I hope that all of you will accept. My home is also at your service. On this bunch are the keys for everything. I have disturbed nothing, whatever not knowing where to put it. I learned that you have your orders to burn every home, so I'm not blaming you. Only please, let me and my family remain here until we can find somewhere to go."
In response to Madame Crechen's warm welcome, General Banks replied that though they would have to search the premises for Confederate soldiers in hiding, the family would not be disturbed otherwise. This search revealed a sickly man hidden in the attic, a distant relative of the family. But he was too old and infirm to be of service to the Confederacy, so the men moved on. Madame Félicité Crechen had once again saved the day. Yet while the mansion was spared, the plantation wasn't left completely unaffected. The home was raided, and Federal soldiers took as much as they could carry in furniture and household goods, loading them into army wagons for their own purposes. It is believed that they also hauled away several thousand pounds of cotton and destroyed several outbuildings, including the storehouse, sugar house, smokehouse, and cotton gin. But the most important effect that the Union Army had on Crescent Point was that before they left, General Banks ordered the dispersal of the enslaved men and women. It is unclear if they were granted freedom by the Crechen family themselves, but Siebold notes that they were sent away with the threat of death should they return to the plantation. And to ensure this, their cabins were burned to the ground. Following the war, Madame Crechen eventually left the plantation for good, choosing instead to reside in New Orleans, where she remained until her death on March 11, 1881, at the age of 84 years old. While the larger-than-life legends of Madame Crechen dominate tales surrounding Crechen Point Plantation, there is yet one more tale to be told of the property, although its basis in historical fact is somewhat dubious. Purportedly, at some point the elder Hippolyte Crechen made the acquaintance of the infamous gentleman smuggler and privateer Jean Lafitte. Since Crechen Point was situated next to Bayou Bourbeau, Hippolyte saw an opportunity to charge Lafitte a small fee to use his land as an inland headquarters, a stopping place for smuggled goods to be gathered and regrouped before being dispersed. The Teche News of St. Martinville, Louisiana, wrote of the legend on November 4, 1955. It is also said that the vicinity
was the meeting place for smugglers, raiders, and cattle rustlers in the days of Lafitte the Pirate, the Battle of New Orleans, and later. Here, the raiders would set out to steal from plantations and towns towards Orleans. And here, they would gather their booty before taking it west. Some stories claim that the wealth of treasure of Jean Lafitte, which has never been discovered, may in fact have been buried somewhere on the thousands of acres of land that made up Crescent Point. Like many plantation homes across the South, Crescent Point began to decline following the Civil War. At some point in the early 1900s, when significant debt pulled Crescent family members away from farming, they ventured into the hotel business. And to help furnish the hotel in nearby Jennings, Louisiana, the family pulled the remaining furnishings from the plantation house. So by 1939, Crescent Point was vacant and began to decay, and the property remained in such a state until 1975, when it was purchased and restored before spending several decades as a bed and breakfast. Today, however, Crescent Point is a private residence. Purportedly, it is said, however, that more than just the living reside in the home. The most well-known, or active spirit, is the intruder that Madame Crescent killed on the stairs. Some have claimed a skulking apparition appears coming across the lawn toward the house, while others claim he's the source of a heavy, oppressive, or threatening feeling near the stairs where his body was hidden. Former owner Louis Cornet once said of the spirit, quote, "The ghost that has given us the most trouble is the pirate Félicité killed on the stairs that night." Yet some have also claimed that the esteemed Madame Crescent herself remains as well. Her apparition, dressed in white, walking the grounds around the home and property. It is believed she is either still overseeing the estate, protecting it from intruders, or possibly even searching for the fortune her husband had buried. And even more hauntingly, it is believed that on quiet nights, a woman's voice can sometimes be heard playing poker inside. I'll see your 100 and raise you 20. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you've been listening to Southern Gothic.
Southern Gothic is an independently produced podcast created by siblings Brianne and Brandon Schecksnyder with the support of listeners like you. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to receive even more content, including ad-free episodes, head over to our Patreon page today. The link is in the show notes.
Lucky Lady Shacks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let Mysteries at Midnight be your destination for detective whodunits and captivating mystery stories. You'll hear classic stories like Sherlock Holmes, Agatha Christie's Poirot, and short tales from H.G. Wells, Charles Dickens, Edgar Allan Poe, and others. I'm Christopher, and I read these classic stories in the soothing style of a bedtime story, so you can listen to them in bed when you drift off to sleep. Search for Mysteries at Midnight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app, and follow and subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes.